So this week, Cambridge Wireless held a conference to celebrate 100 years of radio. This group aims to bring together technology companies across the globe, and for this event, five speakers were chosen to talk about different parts of the history of radio. I went along and talked to each of the speakers about their time period to find out all about the history of broadcasting. Radio was invented in the 1880s, but it only began to be put into practical use at the start of the 20th century. It wasn't initially used for broadcasting, but instead to send messages between businesses and governments using Morse code. Colin Smithers.
But very quickly, then it was socially important, so reporting on yacht races started to happen as early as 1900. First speech transmissions about 1905, but not really suitable for broadcasting.
In fact, the first broadcast radio stations weren't established until the 1920s. Families would spend their evenings together gathered around a wireless, and this was the golden age for radio. But in 1939, the Second World War hit. Radio became not just a form of entertainment, but a vital weapon for politicians. Jeff Farrella.
Well, I think it's a mixed blessing because both for Britain and Germany and Italy, wireless broadcasting, of course, fueled nationalist identity. And it was those nationalists, the clash of those nationalist identities that actually caused the Second World War. And actually it was Winston Churchill's wartime broadcasts that were tremendously important in terms of keeping the sort of British morale. And I think the radio broadcasting was essential to winning the war.
In the decades after the war, radio technology made some important advances. Steve Hazeldine.
Well, the biggest change really was the move from the old valves to transistors and integrated circuits. So radios went from being devices that were stuck in a room to being portable and anywhere in the house.
Radios became smaller and cheaper, meaning many households could afford more than one. Rather than the whole family gathering around a single wireless, younger and older members could listen separately. This opened up a whole new market of radio listeners.
What really changed the whole scene was that in the 1960s, we got a number of pirate radio stations, but more importantly, the music they played was for a much younger audience. And it took a few years, but of course the BBC then reacted and Radio 1 was established and it's never looked back.
Although invented in 1933, FM radio really took off in the second half of the 20th century. The frequency band was broadened, allowing national coverage, so many BBC stations moved from AM to FM. Nigel Lynge.
As you drive around the country, of course, you are effectively picking up a slightly different frequency. To aid that, they developed the radio data system, RDS. In fact, the BBC pioneered the development of RDS. Most people would think of it today as the thing that brings the traffic reports up, but it was actually brought in to help tune FM stations as you move around. The higher frequency also means you have shorter aerials as well, so portable devices become a lot more popular.
But FM's dominance didn't last. In the 1990s, digital radio was developed and began to take over. Now, of course, many of us don't tune in at all and instead listen to our radio programmes over the internet. Andy Sutton.
We did find during the period with GSM devices, so the Global System for Mobile Communications, or 2G, that we started to integrate FM radios into the actual mobile phone itself. Nowadays, of course, we tend not to do that, rather take streamed content over the digital cellular network itself into the device.
Andy Sutton, and thanks to all of the rest of the speakers at the Cambridge Wireless Conference. It'll be interesting to see where radio goes in the next 100 years. Hopefully we'll still be here. Well, probably not me, but some kind of naked scientist anyway.
Do you know, everyone said, as the Buggles sang, video killed the radio stars. And it didn't quite work out like that, because when the internet came along, everyone said the internet was going to kill radio. And it's this enduring medium. And I think it's the fact that it's the audio dimension and you can do other things while you listen to the radio, which you can't do with other media. If you're watching a television programme, you've got to watch it, haven't you? Whereas if you're on the radio listening to it, you can cook the dinner or, as other people are doing, serving their roast lamb or whatever while you're listening.
Exactly. It's also so instant as well. TV programmes take a lot longer to make than radio, so you can't necessarily get that sort of instant news like we do.